Today, as we go and finish the 61st chapter of the book of Isaiah, we're going to pick up on where we left off on Thursday night. And this one, the title would be, The Family Needs to Have Yahweh's Clothing. Understand that when God first created man, Adam is what we call him. God gave man something that was different than what he gave the animals. Gave him something that was different than what he gave the vegetation. The Bible says that God created man in his image and in his likeness. Now, a lot of times we don't understand that when God did that, that was his original design for man. And because that was God's original design for man, when man lost that, when he decided that I would listen to my own thoughts and I will do and follow that in which I have seen that was done by Satan through my wife. What do you mean, what was done by Satan through my wife? Satan took God's word from exactly what it was and just changed just a little bit to her. God said, you will surely die. Satan said, you will surely die, but added one word, not. Just one word and changed it. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the Bible said when God had created all of the trees, when God had created everything on the earth, it was good and very good. Now we have to look and understand, if he said it was good and very good, then we must realize that even the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was good. But there was a restriction placed on that tree. You're not to eat of it. If you eat of this tree, he said, you will surely die. Didn't he say it? Now here's what we got to look at. When Eve sinned and was in the transgression because she was deceived, and she gave to her husband with her, he ate, and because of that, God, when he came through the garden, and I don't want to go into this too deeply, but we don't have them in the scripture to cover today. We find it in the scripture, the Bible said they heard the voice of the Lord coming in the evening. One day when we talk, I want to show you all, I want to go through and show you something about the voice of God. I want to show you some things in the Psalms that when the voice of God comes, that it makes hinds calf. I'm talking about deers have their babies. It makes mountains shake, that it makes things happen. Remember in the book of Exodus when God came down and his voice was on the mountain and the people were terrified? And they said, Moses, we don't want to talk to God. They were afraid. And they say, Moses, you go up. We're afraid. Because when we read that in Genesis, it looks like that all they did was hear something. Adam, Adam, where are you, little son? No. When people would hear the voice of God coming like that in the time of judgment when they were doing wrong, there was fear. We all know that God put them out of the garden. Because the first man that God had given to rule and have dominion on this earth, and God said, I didn't really want you to rule by yourself, and it was good when I made you, but it's not good for you to be alone. So don't get the two as it's a contradiction. It's good that I made you like this. Because I need you to see that I don't want you breeding with the animals like the Canaanites would do and like some people in America that lay up with animals that they call bestiality. I don't want you doing that. So I need you to understand while I got you made in my image and in my purity that the animal is not your mate. Now, I've got you bound to the ground so that you understand that every herb of the field that I've given you to eat, you are tied to the earth to live. But until I breathe in you the breath of the breath of life, you won't live. That's why when you see Jesus tell the disciples in John chapter 20, I believe it's chapter 20, and he breathes on them and tells them to receive the Holy Spirit, that's the type and the figure of me doing the same thing that was done in the garden. Oh, I wish we loved God's word so much. Until we get God's spirit in us, We can be walking around and we know more than a corpse that God has formed on the ground, and we're not ready to do his will yet. We are not ready to do his will until we have his spirit. When Adam sinned, he still was to have dominion, but now he doesn't have the dominion with God's presence. The woman that God took from his rib, he didn't take the woman, because that's a teaching that some people give. He just took the rib. And he formed that rib, Naomi. From that rib, he formed a woman. That way, if you see right here, he takes this out and he forms a woman. That means that she got part of herself from him, right? Mm-hmm. But Adam has to get his food from the ground, right? Mm-hmm. So whatever part he took from her is tied to the ground as well, right? But she's also a part of him in such a way that you don't despise her. You don't mistreat her. You don't kick her. You don't slap her. Because the moment you've done that, you've gone outside of God's will. She was brought to Adam. See, Adam was put to sleep, Naomi. Listen, this is a Naomi day. Adam was put to sleep. Adam didn't ask for a woman. Adam knew that Mr. Gorilla had a Miss Gorilla, a Miss Brontosaurus, which wouldn't have been called a Brontosaurus. It would have been called a Tanin then. Or would they call it a Behemoth? Had one just like them that was made differently? He didn't have one. The Bible said there was not found one for him. As if he looked and I see his... Well, man, you know, look, children know that. Did you tell me you had three children?
Yes.
How old is your oldest?
Six.
And how old is your youngest?
Three.
If you give two of them candy, will the little one know the feeling that, where's mine? Or if you give two of them, will they realize they don't have one? Adam realized, I don't have one. And God put him to sleep, and the Bible said he brought her. Brought means that I didn't make her right here. I made her somewhere else. I brought her to you. So the first person she ever saw was God. Are you with me, Joanne? I see you looking in the sky. If he brought her to Adam, she wasn't with Adam to start with. When God formed her, this is me and you. The first one I want you to ever see is me. I want you to see me in my might. I want you to see me in my power. I want you to see me in my glory. You will not even be able to see till I give you the breath of life. And I'm going to give you enough intelligence that you will be able to be suitable for my son. I'm not giving him a dumb woman. I'm not giving him a dog. I'm giving him somebody that will help him rule this world. Somebody that can have dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air. I didn't make him to play with himself or to masturbate because I want him to bring children into the world. So therefore, I'm giving him somebody that can fulfill that role. I'm not going to let him be teaching just a father tongue. It's going to be called a mother tongue. I'm going to give you breast because I want those babies to understand their part. They're getting their life from you. Just like you came from his side, the baby's going to be tied to you so that they know where they get their sustenance from, and your authority will already be ingrained because their whole life is dependent on you. So that the picture for that child should be, my life comes from you, and when daddy does what he does, it comes from him. When you see him plow, when you see him dress and till and guard the land, you will see that all my dependency is on him. My protection is from him. The wife is to be protected by the husband. She did not come from her head to rule, nor his foot to walk on. God is going to judge every one of us men by how we treat our wives, our children, our brothers, our sisters, and our parents. The Bible said God should bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. If you think I'm lying, go to Ecclesiastes, the last chapter, and look at the last two verses. That's where they are, 12 13 and 14. I memorized that when I was a boy. Now, when a child sees that, Rich, the picture is being drawn. What's the picture that's being drawn? This is how you're dependent upon me. Without me, without that mother, you cannot take a newborn baby and pull a piece of collard off the ground and feed it. You can't feed that child a piece of pomegranate. You can't feed that child herbs off the field yet. That child is dependent on the mother. The child proceeds from the seed, the zera, the sperm of the man, and it goes into the garden of the woman where the womb is. That's why Song of Solomon talks that way. And so God has given Adam a garden to take care of my garden. Now I'm going to give you a little garden. Now you take care of mine, I'll give you one of your own. Lord have mercy. I wish we could understand. A garden is set forth to produce that which seed you put in there. If you're growing corn, if you're growing beans, if you're growing collards, that's what you want it to produce. That's why you go out there and you plow it. That's why you fertilize it. That's why you try to keep the bugs off of it. That's why you try to keep the... Do you see what's happening? You don't go out there yourself and pour mortar oil on your garden, do you? Do you? Do you go out there and ride over your garden when the plants try to go with your truck and scratch wheelies? How many of us men take our garden and pour oil on their spirit? Scratch a wheelie on them. Go out there and just throw acid all over our garden and still expect it to produce for us that which is necessary to sustain life. But then when we read Genesis, we don't see what's there because we're just reading. This is God's word. It's supposed to interact with us so the child would know. And God uses the motif of garden. Why does he use that, Rich? Because if you plant corn, you get corn. You plant beans. Well, when you plant human seed, what do you get? You get a human. She is to produce children for you. And those children are to be bound to that garden, the mother and you. And it's supposed to move from the physical, the milk, from you doing it and everything for the child to learn. And you're supposed to shift that child from you being the one that's controlling it till you shift it to the father. Now this child can go out and do the same thing. But most of us fail in our role in letting our children know that where our authority comes from. Yeah, I hear men always talking about I'm the head. But it's like, you know what? When the football teams play and they lose and they lose and they lose and the coach is the head, they fire the head and they replace him. So just because you're the head don't mean a whole lot. Coaches get fired all of the time. It's the coach that produces what the owner wants produced is the one that keeps the job. When we men are following God and we realize that we are so tied to him, his mouth, that's why I breathe, you tied to my spirit. My spirit is revealed in my word, John 6:63. It's the spirit that quickens. The flesh does not profit anything. The words that I speak are spirit, they are life. That's what Jesus says. And when the woman begins to realize that I was supposed to have a relationship with God, irrespective of you, sir. God is my daddy. Yahweh is my daddy. And I know he's bigger than you. His glory is bigger than yours. And if you're in the wrong, Adam, I go to daddy. I'm supposed to be with you, but you're not with God. So you have a recourse. When you both love God and God is the number one in your life, she loves God, you love God, the fringe benefits are so many. I don't cheat on my wife because I love her. I love God. So without even putting her in the equation, as long as I please God, she don't have to worry about me doing it. I don't slap my wife around because I love God. I mean, I could add it to age that my sons are old enough to take me out now, but but the point being, this is my wife. She is my garden. Now, can I just take you just a little bit? God created man in his image, And God gave him a glory. The point that I'm getting ready to go to is to show you that man has lost his glory. And that all of the families of the earth, God allowed them to come through Adam. And then when they messed up, God is going to allow them to come back to him through one man, Abraham, and all of the nations of the earth to come back to him. And that's how we're going to go back and get our glory. So when we move to Isaiah 61 like I want to, we'll see why I'm talking about the garments. Garments represent your authority. In the ancient world, you don't go put on a king's garments unless you want to be put to death. You don't go and put on the garments of a soldier if you were a woman. That's what Deuteronomy 22 and 5 was talking about. It wasn't talking about wearing pants. There was no such thing as pants then. When it says the woman should not wear that pertains to the man, it was talking about battle armament. Look it up in your Hebrew when you go behind the English. But when it says a man does not wear that pertains to the woman, I've made you in my image. You are the lead. You are to reproduce me on the earth. I made you in a small sense like me. Just like I can create and bring life, I'm allowing you on a limited sense to bring life, but I'm not allowing you to do it by yourself so that you know she is just as important as you are, and you know that I brought her to you and she belongs to me. I'm allowing you to be there and oversee, and I'm giving her to you, but she's still not yours. Not yours in the sense that you in complete utter control. Mm-hmm. I will fight for her. Mm-hmm. Now, let's get to the juice. Just like you're supposed to understand that when you plant seed, it grows. Corn, beans, wheat, or whatever. When you plant human seed, babies come forth. That's not where God wanted it to stop, saints. If God say, I've given you dominion over the earth, the fish of the sea, and the fowl of the air, and I'm telling you to be fruitful and to multiply, what I want you to do is now I want you to multiply my seed in your life, in your family's life. You're supposed to be able to give her my word, give your children my word, live by my word, so that they will bring forth the fruit that I want to come in their lives. That's what God said about Abraham. I know Abraham. He will command his children after my ways. Why else would he tell you in Deuteronomy chapter 6? Fathers, raise your children. When you rise up, teach them my ways. When you go by the way, teach them. You are planting my seed. You think God is only interested in you being able to plant sperm or something? You don't understand. God is way bigger than that. But he uses this to show you. My God, and then most of us, we're not even thinking about God when we get a child brought into the world. We think about our pleasure. God don't have a problem with you having pleasure with your wife. Read the Song of Solomon. Maybe one day I'll teach it to you. But right now, the glory that Adam had, he would have been able to pass that glory to his children because he would have taught God's ways. And the first thing that God taught him is to keep my word. Keep this garden. Now I've given you yours. You're supposed to do the same thing. Most of us fail so horribly that we should never even get out of Genesis 1. Well, those of you that have been with me a while, you know that Abraham becomes the father of nations. I want to turn to it just a little second so that we can make sure that I'm not embellishing his word. I think I'll go to Genesis 12 and get to Abraham. Now listen to 12 and 1. And the Lord God, the Lord had said
to Abraham. Now Yahweh had said unto Abraham.
See how beautiful that is. If I'm messing up and she just take over, isn't the Lord good? And that's Gary's wife. That's his garden. And she produced it right there in this assembly. Go ahead and read it, Dree.
Now Yahweh had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation.
This is what I want us to understand. This is what would have been with Adam. If you don't understand what's going on in the scripture, this is just like having another Adam. I'm not saying he's another Adam, but I'm going to use him as a what is called a federal head. You see, we have what is called state government, county government, local government. In the United States, we have a federal head. And they can pass down stuff that overrides a lot of time if the states don't assert their rights. This Abram is going to be the one that I use to show the world my glory again. This is going to be the man that I'm going to give the glory back that they've lost. Do you understand? When you read Romans 3, it says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Don't take that to mean that I can sin and live any way I want to because everybody's done it. No, you've come short of the glory of God because man lost it. There were men that was righteous. There were many men that were righteous, but we don't have the glory that once was. We have not been glorified now. That comes when we get our new body. Blessed is everlasting name to sit between the cherubim. Now, go back again when he said, I will make you a great nation.
And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing.
Abraham, you can't do this by yourself. But what I'll do, I will make you a great nation, and I will make you a blessing. Go ahead, please.
And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed.
This is the point being made here. Just like Adam had the glory of God, just like Eve had the glory of God, before they were ever sinned, this was Adam's job. I would bless those that would bless you. I would curse those that would curse you. They're all going to come from you. You have the opportunity to lead. Adam failed. So now, after the flood, after the Tower of Babel, during what is called the Line of Shem, God chooses this man. I'm going to put you in charge. And because of you, I'm going to make you a great nation, singular. You. But in you, all of the families. When we talk about Gentiles, Goyim, that's families. If you don't understand that they are families, if you don't understand that they are other nations, that's because you haven't spent enough time in God's word, and evidently something has happened, and you short bust somewhere. Let me read something to you while Dre go to Genesis 15. In Genesis chapter 10, verse 5, when it goes through and starts talking about the sons of Noah, in Genesis chapter 10, verse 5, it says, by these the isles of the Gentiles were divided. That's the isles of the coastlands. They say a lot of time in Isaiah, when it talks about the isles were waiting for the light of God's glory. It says, by these the isles of the Gentiles were divided in their land, everyone after his tongue, after their families, in their nations. This comes before God chooses Abraham in chapter 12. Therefore, we begin to see God wants to bring his glory back to men. He wants to get it, but I'm going to do it through a family. And by you, Abram, whoever blesses you will be blessed. Whoever curses you will be cursed. I'm going to use you as the model of the very thing that I wanted from Adam. I wanted Adam to teach his children and to spread it out so that it would go not only from Gihon and Pison and Havilah and Hiddekel, from Eden. That was one garden only in Eden. I want the whole world populated. Mm-hmm. That's your job, boy. Mm-hmm. But you failed in the first. And so here's the man that would do it. And so you see, he's saying, all families will be blessed. You want to know what all families we're talking about? There it is in chapter 10, verse 5. We're almost to the good part. But when you have a time that you can go through and bring some juice out, you want to do it. Now let's go back to the 15th chapter where I had you to go, Dre. And let's look at verse 1 and let's read it.
After these things, the word of Yahweh came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Yahweh Adonai, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, The word of Yahweh came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad, and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in Yahweh, and he counted it to him for righteousness.
I want us to understand that if I go to the book of the Revelation before I finish, you will find that the garment that God wants for the family is righteousness. And in the book of Revelation, it's going to be deemed or going to be called a white linen garment. So even before you get to the Revelation, before you get to see that it's a picture of a white linen garment, you begin to see that God is getting ready. He's starting to glorify, putting a glory on Abraham. Do you see it? This is the God of all the earth saying that I count it to as righteousness. This is not you going to another idol. This is not you getting it from me. This is God's blessed word. He says, look, Abraham, I'm your reward. I am your reward. Don't worry about this land. Some people miss that. Some people miss that. Look at what he says. Fear not, Abraham. I am your shield. You have 318 men that can fight. You went and fought a war in the 14th chapter of Genesis, and you won. But I'm really your shield. And I am your reward. You better feel that. Most people are looking for the hand of God instead of looking for God. And women, all of you all know what it's like for a man looking for what they can get for you to bring them sexual joy, but they're not looking for you. They're not looking to take care of you. They're not looking to honor you. They're not looking to protect you. They're not looking for that. They're looking for somebody to cook for them, to clean for them sometimes, and to lay up with. But they're not looking, what can I do for you? God said, I'm your reward. You better believe that. And then he says, he won't be your heir, but the one that comes out of your loins. Primarily, is going to speak of the Christ. In this context, it will be Isaac. And it says he believed God, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Let's move on to chapter 18, verse 19. Because I want us to see that the family of God must put on God's garments. If we don't put on God's garments of righteousness, if we don't put on God's garments of true holiness, which I mean, if you already know it's Ephesians 4 and 24, somebody can turn there. What does it say in the 18th chapter of, you know what I want you to do, Dree? Do this for me. Do the 18th and the 19th verse, because it's real pretty.
Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him.
Notice this. God is getting ready to execute judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham is now being brought into the council of God. We don't have the time to fully go through it today. But God is going to tell him what I'm going to do to Sodom and Gomorrah. And he said, "What? May I use the vernacular? This is my boy right here. This is my friend." And you'll begin to notice as you read the scriptures, the king would have a friend. And he's not just like, you know, we buddies. No, this is somebody that bring the counsel with me. Shall I hide this from Abraham? Seeing that he is going to become a great and a mighty nation, singular. This one man is going to become a great and a mighty nation. And all of the nations. Not just sometimes somebody will say that the people that were descendants of Abraham go somewhere else and learn their traits and their characters, or that they go there and they become Gentiles. That is not what the Bible says. The Bible says, surely he shall become a mighty nation and all of the nations, the Goyim. That's the same word that is translated as Gentiles. Sometimes your version will say, nations, sometimes it will say Goyim. All of the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. That's why sometimes people don't understand Galatians. Because you don't see that it's in him. Lord have mercy, bless his everlasting name that sits between the cherubim. And then what does the next verse say? It's so beautiful.
For I know him.
For I know this man, and what will he do?
That he will command his children and his household after him. And they shall keep the way of Yahweh.
To do what?
To do justice.
To do what?
To do justice.
One more time.
To do justice.
Any assembly where justice is not being done, we're not in Abraham. We're not in God. That's why when we have to do justice, it's because this is what God wants. It's not that what I want. I can mind my own business and be with my wife. We can go out and have fun. Have us a glass of wine and not bother anybody. Everything would be lovely. But God said it's to do justice.
And judgment.
And judgment in their own home first. Notice. Read it again, Dree. Let's see if he's talking about the nations first.
For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him.
Lord have mercy. Go ahead.
And they shall keep the way of Yahweh.
Notice that Adam did not guard or keep the garden. That's your job, Adam. Dress it and keep it. You lost your glory because you didn't. You didn't realize what I had given you. I have given you the opportunity in a limited sense to be like me, to be Father. You share my title. I'm your father. I'm going to let you be a father. Leader, king, I have dominion. The whole world is mine. I'm giving you dominion. I'm going to let you have children and sons. I'm going to let you give instructions. Wife, I'm allowing you to partake in that. He will never have a household without you. He can't do the job by himself. I've designed it that way. There's nothing in his body that can feed the child. Nothing. Nothing nutritious. Nothing that you can feed a child. She is to be a part. I took her out of your side. You're supposed to be one. How many times have you seen a basketball team out there and you say, well, there's five people on the court, so there's five teams out there. That's one team. And even those on the bench are on the team. You are one. I'm trying to teach you the concept of one, Adam. One. You're one in flesh. You should be one in spirit with my purpose. Abraham, this boy... He will command his children. In other words, if he will command his children and they'll do justice, guess what that means, Rich? He is going to plant the seed of my word in his household and to their children, and they're going to produce what? Justice and judgment. It's right. It's been there all the time, hand in hand. Read some more, because I'm so excited, because he's going to provide his children through what he does, the opportunity to have the righteous garment. Read on, please.
That Yahweh may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him.
Bless his everlasting name. The last thing on Abraham, we need to go to Genesis 26 and 5. And that way, when we move to where I got Ann sitting over there in Ephesians chapter 4:24, we'll be good. Genesis 26 and 5. Let's see if Abraham... Well, I'm going to quote you one. In Genesis chapter 17, God told Abraham... In 17, and the first verse, I don't know why my thing went to 15. I know he's telling them to be perfect, so I know what I'm looking for. I just need to make sure it's the 17th chapter. That's it, first verse. And when Abram was 99, the Lord appeared to Abram and said, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. I need you to be the kind of person before me that's unblemished. That's what he's talking about, being unblemished, being blameless. I need you to walk in that righteousness that I've given to you. I need you to do that. And then I will make my covenant between me and thee and multiply you exceedingly. Take me to 26 and 5.
Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws.
Did you see what he just said? Abraham kept them. Read it one more time. I want to show something in that, please.
because that Abraham...
Read above it so we can get what the because is talking about, please.
And I will make thy seed to multiply.
He's telling Isaac, I'll do for you like I did your daddy. But I need you to understand your daddy's credentials. Your daddy wasn't all that just because I chose him. It wasn't just by faith when he did, when he believed me, I counted for righteousness, but I told him to walk before me and be perfect. Let's see, did he do what I told him? Adam didn't. Adam didn't keep the one thing he told him to do. He didn't protect his bride. He brought his bride down low. He brought so much hell in his home that his first son killed his second son. And before we get to chapter 7, Adam's descendants are so bad they're killing one another. And the earth is so vile and corrupt that the whole imagination of man were wicked and ungodly. That God said, I'll destroy. I won't even keep striving with him. 120 years is over. Wonder what it would be like if we could watch every man in here and see how you've trained your children. And see how you've treated your wife and compared it with Abraham. Or compared it with Adam. Which one would it be closer to? Adam, what I didn't do, or like Abram, and God could say, you did like you should. Read some more, Dre. This thing pretty.
And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed.
That is singular. The family needs to have God's garment. God's garment of righteousness. I just want to give us a little taste because I need to get to 61 now. I've given enough preamble to see why I felt like it's important for us to see the garment. Adam lost the glory. We have not been glorified yet. If we get time, we may go to Romans and talk about it. The body has not been glorified. But for those that are walking like Abraham said, God is going to do the same thing that he said he would do for Abram, and he will make us righteous. He will build us up, and we'll be somebody that God can use. Bless his everlasting name. And if you will, please read that in Ephesians 4 and 24 for me.
And that ye put on the new man.
Again, I'm wrong. I need you to at least go to 22 and bring me to 24. My bad.
That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust.
We need to understand that what God is interested in us is that we get rid of the old man, our old lifestyle. If we say we're going to be students of God and come into his word, we need to get rid of that. That is not the man that God designed. That is not the man that God wanted Adam to be. And so when God used Abraham, God used a man to show us what we should be like through faith. Now, one day, he was going to bring his son, the perfection of that. But you don't have to look to his son to see what God wants. You can actually look to the prototype of what God was doing through Abraham. He said, well, Abraham told his wife was his sister. You know what? If you want to be short-sighted like that, and you miss out, you can. But God is not the IRS. God is not me. You can lie to me, and you can make loopholes or whatever, but God's word is not like that. We're not playing with him. Hebrews chapter 4 and 13 says, all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him to whom we have to do. I think Rich version of the Bible say, to whom we have to give account to. Now, I got a little upset, but go ahead and read, Anne.
That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind.
Be renewed. You need to be born again in your mind because of the fact you learn to accept what God says as being authoritative. So what if you have a temper? So what if this psychologist say you bipolar? God say you're wicked. Who do you believe? You believe this man and say you bipolar? I never see a bipolar man slap somebody with a gun. I never see it. They'll slap their wives. They'll beat their children. They'll do something to the boss. I don't see people that they say that are bipolar go and jump people that are packing a weapon. Neither do I see somebody that's supposed to be bipolar go and slap somebody that's bigger than them or that they know they can. I just don't see it. And even if this person is an MMA, they don't go slap everybody because somebody will put you in the box. Mm-hmm. And they'll throw dirt on your face. God said you're wicked. Read on, precious.
And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness.
You put on the new man, the man that we supposed to have had before. He's created in righteousness, and the Bible says true holiness. In other words, you're now putting on the separateness of God in your life to walk and conduct yourself in the way that he wants it done. If Ann will go to Colossians 3 and 10, then we'll bring out my point. We'll drop right back into where we need to be in the 61st chapter of Isaiah. Colossians chapter 3, verse 10. Whichever one of you sisters get it first, it's fine with me. Let's look at 9, then go to 10.
Lie not one to another.
First of all, if you're going to be walking in the glory and the image of God, you can't be a liar. God is truth. He never lies. Your words are like your garments. The policeman, I could put on a policeman's uniform and walk somewhere, and if I act like I'm a policeman, I can be arrested. The firemen have a uniform. And in the ancient world, your authority was given by the garments you wear. That's why when you read in Samuel, Jonathan took off his garments and was giving them to David. It had nothing to do with homosexuality, like the ungodly try to say. Because your garments represented your authority of the office. Now, you know, our president, he can wear shorts, he can wear a suit, he can wear sweats, he's still the president. But in the ancient world, if the king didn't have on his clothes when it was out, it was like he was naked. Your garment is your authority. Tim, where do you get that from? Well, do some history, but let's look at the real picture of God. Isaiah 6 and 1. In the year King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. His garment. God wants us to have a garment. Lying makes you be totally outside of what God is doing. That's why Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth. He said, I came to bear witness of the truth. Didn't he say it? Now, don't get me upset. Read it again, precious.
Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds.
Listen to this verse very carefully.
And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him.
The image that Adam had, the image that Adam lost, and I'm not talking about the light. I'm talking about the image that he had when he was righteous, before he ever sinned. He said, you put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after, hallelujah, the image of him that created him. Read the next verse, please.
Where there is neither Greek nor Jew.
It doesn't matter if you are a Jew or a Hebrew or even a Gentile or an African. The Bible says it. The Bible, it doesn't matter. Did you put on the new man? Are you being clothed with the image that God wanted for Adam? Are you being clothed with righteousness like Abraham? If you did that, it's neither Jew nor Greek. What else?
Circumcision nor uncircumcision.
It doesn't matter if they cut the skin around your penis or not. God is not interested in that skin. He's interested in your heart. I have a problem with a man worrying about my genitals anyway. I have a real problem with that.
Wow.
Because, see, when you think about it, other cultures did circumcision as well. God gave Israel circumcision as a sign. But when the scriptures start teaching, he said, once the fulfillment of the sign or the shadow is here, that's not your issue. The issue now is the new man. So if you worry about, why should I unless Rich is seeking up, taking care of him, bathing him, I don't need to know if he's circumcised or not. That's none of my business. I don't want to know. But can you see, this is some of the stuff that they had to deal with. And it still goes on now in different sects and different groups. Read on about the barbarian.
Barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free. But Christ is all and in all.
Okay, now we get the garment of God. We put on the new man, and it's about Christ. That's where we're going to get the image of God. 1 and 3 Hebrews says that he was the image of the invisible God. That's Colossians 1 and 16. He is the image of the invisible God. Let's move to where we need to be because, and looking at my time, I built up a good case on when we moved through because we did most of this already on Thursday. But I wanted to give a different angle. Is that okay with you all when I give a different angle?
Yes, sir.
Do you like it? All right, bless his everlasting name to sit between the cherubim. 61, Dre, Isaiah.
Starting at 1?
Yeah, let's go. We'll move kind of quickly because I know where we stopped. I just want us to get a little taste.
The spirit of Adonai Yahweh is upon me because Yahweh has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. And the opening of the prison to them that are bound.
Okay, from the vein and how I'm teaching this today, understand what he is doing is I'm going to try. He sent me to bring, and I'm teaching it from the perspective of where we are now, because I've already dealt with it from where it was then when he preached it. Isaiah said it. Mm-hmm. Are you with me?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke chapter 4 and 18, he quotes this. I'm not reading that again today, because we went through it where he taught it. And they wanted to kill him. And the reason that he killed him, because he also told him at that particular time that when this word came to you all, Elijah, he didn't come to none of you all Jews. He went to a widow in Zarephath. And that's the one who he went to and sustained her. And said none of the lepers were cleansed. All of that ritual that you see in Leviticus for a leper being cleansed, none of you all was the prophet Elisha sent to. Except Naaman, and he was a Syrian, letting you know that if you don't get what you need to get, he'll bring his light somewhere else. Here, he's saying, he's anointed me to get you to the place where you can come back to the image of God. I did not make man to be blind. I did not make men and women to be brokenhearted. That's not what I made them. I didn't make them to be captives. I didn't make them to be bound. I made them to be free to serve me. I didn't make you to have all these problems in your home. I gave man instructions. I gave him my glory so that he wouldn't know how to honor this woman because you would honor her because you know she's mine. She's not yours. That you would train these children because you would begin to realize he's letting me bring them forth because he didn't want to bring them up out of the ground like he did the animals. He let me play a part and they're really his children. And yet he lets me call them mine. So this is what he's done. He sent me to bring about a restoration to get people back to what I had for Adam. Verse 2.
To proclaim the acceptable year of Yahweh.
There's a time that you can do this. There's a time frame when God will allow things to happen, and we don't know when your time stops. You don't have to believe what I'm saying, but if you read the Bible, you'll see wicked Manasseh was 52 years being a king. The Bible said he shed more innocent blood than anybody else, and this man repented, and God saved him. His son tried to do the same kind of wickedness, and he did it 2 years, and God killed him. And you can say it's unfair all day long if you want to. I don't see one person in here right now that God could kill and he'd be wrong for doing it. Mm-hmm. Starting with me. Mm-hmm. God could kill me right now and be just and the justifier of all men. Mm-hmm. He could take out Naomi. still be just. So when we live in our wickedness and ungodliness and God doesn't strike us down, it's not because he won't. He's letting you pile it up and he's going to give you a worse condemnation. You don't understand God yet. That's why when we stopped in Genesis 19, when God said, I won't hide this from Abraham, he said, the wickedness of Sodom has come up before me. I'm ready to come down. It's at the end. I'm coming down. I'm going to deal with that stink. He did the same thing with the Tower of Babel. If we're living in ungodliness, if we're doing what God tells us not to do, he'll come down. You better let him tell you, let him show you what he means in these passages. Finish two.
To proclaim the acceptable year of Yahweh and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn.
In other words, what he's saying is, I got an acceptable time. You don't accept an acceptable time. I got a day of vengeance because I am going to restore. I'm going to restore man back to the image that I wanted him to be in to start with. I'm going to restore things where men will listen to me and that their offspring will be my children. I'm going to restore that in righteousness. I'm going to do it in true holiness. I did not want you to be in the place where you were victimized and you're mourning. I'll bring comfort. I'll bring judgment. Next verse.
To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. To give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness.
Do you understand that when God gives his family the garment that they should be, do you realize how much praise would come to him from our lips? We don't fully know how good it's supposed to be. Romans 8 and 19, because we probably won't have time to read it. It says the earnest expectation of the creation. King James says creature waits for the manifestations of the sons of God. And it talks about the whole world has suffered and is in travail until now, waiting for us to receive the adoption of sons. To wit, we're going to have the glorification or the reformation or the beautification of the body. We might read, but I just want you to understand the whole creation has suffered because man lost God's image. Read, Dree.
The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness,
mm-hmm.
that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of Yahweh, that he might be glorified.
Those that don't know the Bible, you don't understand that when God had them to make the tabernacle, they used acacia wood. King James called it shittim wood. When you see Solomon builds his temple, he's going to use cedar. He's going to have olive trees and things inside of that. That was God using the picture to show that this wood that was in that temple is going to actually represent us, because God is going to make us all grow up to a holy temple of the Lord. So he uses us as the stability of trees, and he's showing right here, there'll be trees of the Lord. Let God's imagery throughout the Bible tell you what he means when he says things like that. And then, and only then, will we not come up with fanciful ideas of what he's talking about. Read some more.
And they shall build the old wastes. They shall raise up the former desolations. And they shall repair the waste cities. The desolations of many generations.
All these things wouldn't have happened if man would have lived and walked in God's glory and his righteousness. We've discussed that on Thursday. So I just made a short statement on it. 5 and 6, please.
And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks. And the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But you shall be named the priests of Yahweh. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall you boast yourselves.
God swore to Abraham that through your seed all nations will be blessed. They'll be blessed in you, Abraham. Abraham had two kinds of seeds. He had one like the sand of the seashore, and he had one like the stars of heaven. Mm-hmm. Abraham had an earthly seed. Abraham has a heavenly seed. Didn't it say it? He said, look in the stars. That's how your seed will be like the stars in heaven. And as the sand of the seashore. Mm-hmm. Abraham has a fleshly seed. Abraham has a seed of promise. It's heavenly. So, when you see strangers will flee your flock, build up the old waste places, whoever blesses you will be blessed. When you see the other nations, the strangers and the Gentiles coming in to bring about blessing, he's keeping his word. But you shall be named the priest of the Lord. This is the remnant of the natural seed. Men will call you ministers of God. You will eat the riches of the Gentiles. The Gentiles, the nation that were in Genesis 10 and 5, they're going to be a blessing to you because in blessing you, they get blessed. God is very consistent. It's nothing new. But if you start reading Isaiah and you forget what was said before then, and you don't read and see what the apostle said about what was said before then, you don't let God finish talking about what he's doing. And it's hard to understand a book like Isaiah if you just start in Isaiah or you read Isaiah and you don't read the rest. The Bible is one you need to go and see the whole picture, and you might need to see it twice. Then you start going back and looking at particulars. Read some more, Dream.
And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks. I'm sorry, I read that already.
You did. You can go to 7.
For your shame, you shall have double. And for confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them.
Do you see that they're being blessed and blessing the seed of Abraham? Do you see that they're being blessed? Do you see that they're being able to be blessed where they are? God's word is being given. God's word is being set forth. And when we read in the scripture, we see that when the Lord Jesus came and before he went back into heaven, he told his disciples, go into all the world and teach and command them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. It's about mankind going back, getting the image of God, doing God's work in the land. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about one nationality. That's neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, male nor female. All is one in Christ. That's what Galatians chapter 3:28 says. And I don't really care what any other person has to say is to change me. If you haven't been shipwrecked like Paul in the deep, if you haven't been stoned for the word of God like Paul was, if you hadn't almost gone blind for the word of God like Paul was, if you hadn't been beaten like Paul was, if you hadn't been in prison like Paul was, and if Peter don't call your words scripture like he called Paul, then I emphatically, categorically disagree with you forever. Amen. Read some more, Jeree.
For I, Yahweh, love judgment.
See? Same thing that Abraham would do. You my son, you're going to do my way. I love judgment. What else?
I hate robbery for burnt offering.
Yes.
And I will direct their work in truth.
You can't be a liar and have the image of God. You can't. It's no damnable way possible. You cannot. Your ways are damnable if you are a liar. You can't do his ways in truth because no truth is in you. You are of your father, the devil. He was a liar from the beginning. He abode not in the truth. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own. He's the liar and the father of it. Read it in John 8:44, because I might have said it too hard. Because sometimes I feel it in my spirit. John 8:44. Now your voice will sound better than mine. When God don't like liars.
You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it.
As long as you're a liar and you don't repent, you can say you're a son of God all day long. Who am I going to go with? If I go with Paul on either Jew or Greek, bond or free, who am I going to go about when somebody say God is their father? Am I going to go for the one that came, lived, preached, beaten, spit on, lied on, and hung on the cross, then rose up from the dead and explained the scripture? Am I going to believe you, him? Talking about the Messiah. Or am I going to believe you? I know I might look stupid, but I'm going to believe him. Now, I'm going to show you my wisdom. I'm going to believe him. Now he says, for I, Yahweh, love judgment. You're going to be a son of God? All of we men in here, we're going to be sons of God. Women in here, we're going to be sons of God. Because really, the woman is not without the man, and the man not without the woman. The man came first, not the woman. The chicken came first and not the egg. Believe that. The Bible created adult animals. It was no egg first. And God created the man first, then the woman. But now the man comes from the woman. But in the beginning, it was the man first. If we're going to be children of God, we got to have judgment in our home. Women, you got to exercise right judgment. Men, you got to exercise right judgment. We got to exercise right judgment. We cannot abuse because we have bigger muscles. What do we do when we get to the place as a man that our genitals don't work? Now you're going to feel like you're not a man anymore? What do you do as a man when your shoulders get hurt? What do you do as a man when your knees get weak? Or your back get where it won't work? So you're no longer a man? Then you must not understand the image of God. You could be in a wheelchair and can't move. If you're in the image of God, your words have power. Have power to build up. Have power to tear down. Have power to exercise judgment and justice. You don't need a fist. You don't need a strong back. You don't need to have any of the things that we men glory in to be a man of God. What we need is judgment, justice, and righteousness. He'll give us a new body. One that you can't cut. One that can't be shot. One that can't fall off a building. That's what I need. I'm old enough to understand. It take a long time for stuff to get well than it used to. Do you want it? All right, so he loves judgment. Do you love judgment? And he hates robbery. Your version here says for burnt offering, but what we're looking at is he hates robbery and for iniquity. He hates you getting gain for iniquity. He hates that. Churches do it. Ministers do it. Preachers do it. Governments do it. And sometimes husbands do it. Sometimes husbands will take from their wife to do what they want to with their habits. That's not benefiting the family. And they exercise wrong judgment and rob their wives. Well, you say, isn't that robbery? Oh, well, she's trying to get you not to do it and you exercise your strength and your power to do that. God is judging. I hate robbery. And I will direct their worth and truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. If you notice, he's talking about strangers. He's talking about them rejoicing in their land in double. All of you get to enter into covenant. Verse number 9.
And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which Yahweh has blessed.
Notice. Is something wrong? All their seed will be known among the Gentiles. Why is that? Because of truth. Because of judgment. Because of the fact that you have people already rejoicing. People already getting judgment. And you still have a job to do. Your seed is known among the Gentiles. Your offspring. And all shall see and acknowledge that God has given you a garment of righteousness. A garment of truth. A garment where you are just like Abraham. They didn't see Abraham's garment with their physical eyes. But they saw that he was a blessed man. Mamre wanted to be with Abraham. Eshcol wanted to be with Abraham. Read your Bible. Read the 14th chapter. When they came in, they captured your nephew Lot. And the Bible said Mamre and Eshcol was confederate with Abraham. Didn't it say it? For a man that didn't know it on Ruby, his name was Abimelech, which means my father's king. He had Sarah. And God helped him see it in that, boy, you're a dead man. You got a man's wife. I didn't do it on purpose. And God let him know, this man's a prophet. He's been in council with me when we dealt with Sodom. He's a prophet. And you do right by him, and he'll pray for you. Because if he don't pray for you, it's over. Why is that? His garment is righteousness. He deals in truth. He keeps my commands. He gives, when he brings forth children, he brings them forth to me. When you bring them forth and you bring them into the world with your natural seed, that's your first job. But your higher job is to bring them to God. Read on, Tree, because we need to finish this chapter.
I will greatly rejoice in Yahweh. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation.
My soul. Hear, Isaiah? This man can say, I've been clothed with the garment of salvation. Somebody said to him, how you going to say Isaiah said that? You don't know that. How do you know what I know? Isaiah 6. And the Lord said when he was talking, who shall go for us? Isaiah chapter 6. But Isaiah says, I'm an unclean man. My lips are unclean. I dwell among unclean people. And one of the seraphs took one of the coals off of the altar and put it on his lips and cleansed him. Now you've been cleansed. Now you can go and do what I need you to do. This man had received and seen the glory of God. And God cleansed him. He's got the glory of salvation. In other words, you are no longer defiled. You're somebody I can use. And he says, I got it. I got garments of salvation. He's covered me with righteousness. As a bridegroom, he's decked me with ornaments. And that's what you see in 1 Peter chapter 3. He tells the women, women, don't just let it be your platinum hair and putting on golden apparel. Let it be the hidden man of the heart, which in the sight of God is a beautiful ornament. Didn't he say it?
Yes.
God wants not just the women to have that. He wants us to be clothed in humility. He wants us to be clothed in truth. He wants us to be clothed in the righteousness of his Son. That's why the Bible can say, therefore, if any man be in Christ, a new creature. All things are passed away and all things become new. And all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself. By whom? His Son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. And you're like a bridegroom that's decked with your clothes. And as a bride, look at the double imagery. You're decked as a bridegroom, ready for marriage, and decked as a bride, all beautiful in his sight. But what is it? The garments of salvation. Not your Gucci. Not your Diane Free. Not your Tommy Hilfiger. The Diane Free, those kind of dresses, like around $700 a piece. I just happened to know some, I just happened to do some work for a lady one time that was showing me hers. Kohl's and all of this kind of stuff. What's that, Michael Kors? That's not what he's looking at. Mm-hmm. You look at the garments of righteousness. Verse number 11 says what?
For as the earth brings forth her bud.
As the earth brings forth the production of the farmer. As the earth brings forth its bud. Go ahead.
And as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth.
Is as the garden brings forth the corn, the beans, the potatoes, or whatever you're planting. Or as the woman brings forth the little boys, or brings forth the little girls, or the twins. And if for some women might say, God forbid, triplets. As the garden brings forth that produce. Now, let's don't forget this one. As a man is in the image of God, there's a limited image that we still have. Because Genesis 9 and 6 says, whoever kills a man shall be put to death because he's still in the image of God. But you lost the glory of the image. Just like we can see the children come forth, understand that which is on the spiritual side, we don't see, saints. Let me help you. May I help you, please? Go to 6 and 9, Galatians, Ann, because she got that open right there. Just like we know that sperm and egg make a baby. We know that corn go in the ground, the seed die, raise up, and it bring corn, etc. There's another seed that we sow in our life that grows. It is Galatians 6 and 6. Read that, please. That's what I want, 6 and 6.
Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things.
Let's skip that because that's dealing with money. And I don't want to talk about money right now. Read the next verse.
Be not deceived.
Yes.
God is not mocked.
God is not mocked.
For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap.
We're talking about planting, right? Mm-hmm. We're talking about a garden. Whatever you plant will grow. That's what you're going to reap. Read the next verse.
For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption.
What are the works of the flesh? The works of the flesh, Galatians 5 and 19. If she roll back one chapter, she'll show you what the works of the flesh is, because chapter 6 comes after chapter 5. So he's saying that the things that I said in chapter 5, I'm going to tell you, if you sow this, this is a seed, just like sperm, just like corn, just like beans. What are the works of the flesh Paul's talking about?
Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Adults.
If you sow adultery, that's your seed. It's going to grow. It is going to grow. God is not mocked. God is not a liar. You might not understand when it grows that that's what it is. But just because you don't recognize it don't mean that's what it is. I mean, that's not what it is. So when you sow adultery, whatever fruit comes from that, and you don't know what it is, but God said you're going to reap it. Read it again. It's so beautiful, God's word.
Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication.
So you go out here and you say, I ain't married. And you go and sow. I know one young man who brought me a grandbaby in the world. Now there's a grandbaby to take care of, and he feels it, don't he?
Yes.
He sowed it. But that's not the full crop. Mm-mm. If you plant one seed of corn, and that stalk grows up, and the squirrels don't get it, Pop, I don't know, how many ears of what we call corn can be come from one little seed? More than 10? 4 or 5? 4 or 5 ears of corn. You know, every one of them have a seed. Mm-hmm. You sow fornication. Mm-hmm. You have a child, you think that's it. They got to eat. They got to sleep. They might be sick. They might anything. Mm-hmm. And at a certain time, they may break the law and you be responsible. Mm-hmm. You sow, mm-hmm. you reap. Please read.
Uncleanness.
You got wickedness in your life. You doing things that's outside of... You are planting. You are planting. These are the works of the flesh. Please read.
Lasciviousness.
Oh, you so crazy about sex. Porn. Anything that's ungodly. And you so lascivious. You watching the commercials on TV lusting.
Lord.
You think it's okay to have homosexual marriages. Mm. Sowing seeds. People sow seeds and countries sow seeds. America sow seeds. Read some more.
Idolatry.
So you want to do idolatry. You want to be stubborn? God let somebody correct you. You want to be stubborn? The Bible says stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. The Bible says covetousness is idolatry. It's a seed plant. Read some more.
Witchcraft.
Go ahead and be rebellious. The Bible said rebellious is equal to witchcraft. Go ahead and be rebellious. I will promise you that the God of heaven say you are planting in the garden of life. You are planting. You're planting in the garden of life. You're planting your own harvest, and you're planting stuff in the lives of other people. Go ahead with your rebellion and your witchcraft. Please read on.
Hatred.
Go on and read the rest of them.
Variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies.
This is why a lot of times when people say things that's outside of God's word and I get upset, because they're planting. They're planting things, and they're going to plant it in the assembly. Oh, no, you're not. Not if I can help it. I will root it out. And you're talking about wrath? Some of us men, we are so wrathful with our wives, and we don't know what we're planting. We don't know how God's going to deal with us. And I'm going to tell you now, as a man who has been locked up in jail 3 times for something I didn't do, rest fully assured that if somebody wanted to with computers and the way they have things right now, you could be locked up for something you didn't do and do time. It just so happened I didn't have to. Go on and sow wrath. Bully your children. Go on and bully them. Mistreat them. Bully your wife. Bully your sisters. Bully your parents. Mm. Go ahead. Those are the works of the flesh. Mm. Read what he said after that.
Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelations.
Not alcoholic. The Bible says drunken. The Bible never says alcoholic. That's a damnable lie by psychologists. Carl Jung, Abraham Maslow, What's that wrestler name? Father of psychology? Freud, which is the fraud. You can't study the mind. The mind is a universal abstract thing. It's not concrete. You can study the brain. You can study behavior. Like B.F. Skinner says, he says drunkenness. God said, you are drunk. You are sowing seeds. Read on, please.
Revelings and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you now, you call yourself alcoholic if you want to, you won't go to hell for that, and it won't keep you, if you have cancer, it won't keep you out of the kingdom of God. Lupus won't keep you out of the kingdom of God. Sickle cell anemia won't keep you out of the kingdom of God, neither will cancer. But you call yourself alcoholic, and God say you're drunkard. Now, you can go by what they call taxonomy, the way they label things. And you can go with man's label, you can go with God's. I go with God's. If you can't take a drink without getting drunk, you need to leave it alone. Or you need to know when to stop. Bible don't tell you you can't have a drink. That'd be a lie. You're going to be drunk. And when the moment you drink and you're not sober and you mistreat somebody outside of God's will, you're sowing. Now go back to Galatians 6 and 7. Now that we know what the works of the flesh are, we'll see what he means in Galatians 6 and 7. What does he say?
Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting.
We got a choice of what we're going to sow in our families. We got a choice of what we're going to sow in our own life. And that's why you have all these people saying they're depressed. You don't like your harvest. You don't like your harvest. My harvest is I do the job that I do now. I was very smart as a kid. But a lot of time I didn't listen. So I could be doing something different now. A lot of us, if we were to look back and see the time when we played in our life and we're disobedient, we know that if we knew what we know right now, when we went back, we would do things differently. And things would be better. We got the harvest of what our decisions have made. It's not no daggum karma. We have sown. Brothers, we are sowing. That's how I can tell somebody God's going to get you. That's how I can warn somebody. That's how I can say, Lord, go on and fight for your name. You've already said it. Let the world know you don't play. That's why I got scared of him. I started seeing some of my harvest, and it wasn't good. It was bitter in my mouth. You know what I decided to do? From this scripture, I told a homeless man that the other day, stop planting something you don't want to see grow and start planting something new. Eventually, the growth of what you're planting now will catch up and you will like your harvest. So now let's finish in Isaiah. For as the earth bring forth its bud, and as the garden causes the things sown in it to spring forth, what is it?
So Adonai Yahweh will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations.
Good God Almighty. So you're going to walk in God's garment of righteousness and salvation. God will cause your righteousness to bud, to blossom. And the nations will see it, and God will fulfill what he said to Abraham. In you, all of the Gentiles. Somebody said it didn't say Gentiles, it said nations. I read behind the English, that's Goyim. All of the Goyim nations or Gentiles will be blessed. All of them. And guess what? They'll be like the seed of Abraham, the stars of heaven. But the family of God must put on God's garments to do it. Yeah, I had a passage that I was going to read, but I'm not going to read this in Matthew 22, I believe it is, where they came to the wedding feast, and the man didn't have on his proper garment. He didn't have on his proper garment, Gary. And because he didn't have his proper garment on, he was excluded. He was invited. He was invited. Many of us are invited to come to the wedding. If we don't put on the garments, if we're not walking in the image of God, if we're not converted in our soul. We're not walking in truth. You do? Well, read it, Dree. Dree says she thinks it needs to be read. I disagree with Dree. See how these women help me teach? I told Brother Clark we all students. I was going to skip it. Read it.
The kingdom of heaven.
Get in the chapter and verse, please.
Matthew chapter 22, starting at verse 2.
Yeah, she said it needed to be read, so I'm going along with her. Read it.
The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come.
God sent forth his son. He made a marriage for his son and sent them to come. Israel, I'm making a wedding. I'm making restoration. I'm making restoration. I'm going to bring a marriage where things will be restored and man can be back to the full potential of what he was supposed to be. And it's going to be a wedding. It's going to be celebratory. It's going to be great. It's going to be splendiferous, okay? Mm-hmm. But some say I ain't coming. Mm-hmm. Read on.
Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and things are ready. Come unto the marriage.
Now let's get more technical. God sent prophet after prophet after prophet. He allowed Moses to give them the laws that were mediated by angels. And he gave them certain things that they would do, certain blessings, certain curses that would be. And he had different ones that would come and say, look, this is what the covenant say. If you don't do it, this is what God's going to do. He's not mocked. But they made light of walking in his statutes. They made light of walking in his salvation. They did not decide to do what was told to be done. And it was told that if you didn't do it eventually, the very place I told you never to go back to, Egypt, when I brought you out, I'll send you back to Egypt on little small vessels. Has nothing to do about a transatlantic trade. Don't believe anybody to say that. Read the scripture. It says they'll go back to Egypt where I told you not to come from. I'm sending you back to the place where you were in your captivity. I'm showing you that that's where it's over for you. Not being brought to America. Don't ever let somebody tell you that Egypt or Mithraim is America. It's not biblical. It's not linguistically sound. It's theologically untenable. Read, Dree.
But they made light of it and went their ways. One to his farm, another to his merchandise.
In other words, in this passage, they found something else to do than to be obedient and to come and participate in the wedding that everybody would enjoy. How do we do that today? Well, you know, I'm good. Word of God like a lovely song. I'm going to live like I want to. I'm going to treat my friends and family like I want to. I'm going to do like I want to in business. That you're not coming. You're not getting the garment. You act like the wedding doesn't really exist. So you're going to be preoccupied with your own way of living. Please read some more of the sweet word of God.
And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them.
So the prophets were beaten. They were mistreated. We saw that in 2 Chronicles. I'm not sure if it's 16 and 33, but the prophets were beaten. And the Bible said it had gotten so bad that there was no more remedy. Mm-hmm. Well, they said, well, I don't beat the preachers now. I don't. Yeah, but do you marginalize them? Do you lie on them? Do you pretty much kill them in your mind? Because I'm going to put you to the side. Mm-hmm. Oh, we have different ways of doing stuff. Oh, yes, you do. What else happened, Rico? I know these are foolish people.
But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city.
And what did the king do? Read it again.
But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, mm-hmm. and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers mm-hmm. and burned up their city.
He brought about a judgment. They're reaping what they sowed. The king is not, this is just not optional to be invited to the wedding. Kings make demands. And when demands are not met, there's retribution. So if you're going to accept the king's offer, that doesn't mean you're on equal par with the king. What I mean by par, you and the king are not equal. You know how when people say they accept Jesus and they live any way they want to, they haven't accepted him. That's just the mouth. When you accept the king's invitation, then that means you're in line with what he says. And if you don't, then that means you really didn't accept me, and you fought against what I was trying to do, and that's why I'm going to execute judgment. I'm not asking you to accept me because we equal. I'm saying accept my terms of peace and my terms of allowing you to live on my land. And that's what people miss when they deal with the scriptures. Read some more of the sweet word of God, Dre.
Then said he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go you therefore into the highways, and as many as you shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways, and gathered together all, as many as they found, both bad and good.
Mm.
And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment.
Which is quite amazing. You see that the king has executed some judgment, right? Mm-hmm. And the scripture that I was talking about is 2 Chronicles 36 and 16, actually 15, where it says, the Lord God of their fathers sent by their messengers, rising up betimes, sending because he had compassion on his people and their dwelling place, and they mocked the messengers of God, and despised his word, talking about God's word, and misused the prophets until the wrath of God arose against his people, until there was no remedy. This is primarily what this passage is talking about in Matthew chapter 22. And I'm just showing that when we get to the book of Revelation, we will see that God is going to bring that without remedy. He is going to destroy them, but the world will still be standing. There's a judgment that's going to come on Jerusalem. The world will still be standing. And from the time that he destroys these people, now he's sending out into the highways into the world. That's what the disciples go out now to the place that I did. Not only came to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, I'm sending you out to the world. Now I'm gathering them all in, good and bad. But when the king comes, I'm still going to inspect. I'm going to see if you got on the right garment. I'm going to inspect. And what does it say when he expected? He said something so pretty in verse 12.
And he said unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless.
How many of us can sit here and hear the word of God, not have on the wedding garment, not clothed in truth, still sowing to the flesh, not taking our role as a husband, sons, fathers, as we should, and we think that we are clothed in the garment, but he's going to inspect. When we get to Revelation chapter 20, we're going to see a great white throne, and there's going to be books open, and he's going to do some judging. Like I told a man the other day, you got a court date, brother. You know you got a court date, my friend? You ever been to court before?
Yeah.
Did you have a lawyer?
No, it's just like regular small trophy.
Imagine if someone had said about you that you were trying to make a bomb to kill some high governmental official and people believed it. And you did not have a lawyer. And they were getting ready to not only take you and lock you up, but lock up your family. Would you get a lawyer? Or let's just say they were going to put you to death.
Yeah.
Imagine this, my brother. Most men, if the case is life and death, they'll get a lawyer. And if they could help it, they want one better than a public defender, because a public defender, he may be good, but when you have maybe 90 cases to do in a week, I don't care how good you are, they want you to plea bargain. When we go before God in the judgment day, it's called the judgment day. It's the judge of all the earth judging. That's court. That's a trial. And most people are going to go to that court date unprepared. Mm-hmm. It looks like to me a person would want to prepare their case before you go to court. Mm-hmm. The same one that is the judge is the same one that would be your attorney, your advocate. He's telling us how to put on the garments, how to be dressed, how to be ready for court. Mm-hmm. And the Bible says so many of them, they're not going to be ready for court. And they're going to say, rocks fall on us! Fall! How do It's too late. Here, the picture right here. And the king came to see the guests and saw there was a man he didn't have on a wedding guest. Friend, how you come here without a wedding garment? And the man had no excuse. Read the next one.
Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
And that same Jesus tells in other parables, that's the angels that would do that. Oh, it's the imagery is there. Many are called, a few are chosen. I called Israel. I sent my disciples to call the Gentiles. Oh, but if you don't have the right garment on, you're not going to be chosen. Do we want it? Do we want the garment? The family of God must put on the garment of God. He must put it on. It's not a garment like silk or satin or wool. It's not a garment of velvet. It's a garment of righteousness. Garment of truth. Garment of holiness. A garment of responsibility. Once I realize what my role is as a husband, as a father, it just seemed overwhelming. But when I saw that this is what God has entrusted to all of us, and he's going to allow me in a limited sense to model him to my son, to my wife, that he's going to allow me to do these, it became a wonderful challenge. I don't want to let him down. I don't want to let him down. I want to be dressed like he wants me to. Anytime I get dirty, I want to get clean quickly. I want him to be pleased with me. And I hope those of us in seeking truth, that we'll make up our mind we want the garments that the Lord has for us. If we'll wear that, I'm sure God will be pleased with us. Do you want the garment? Do you want God to be pleased? Do you want to be able to understand that I'm the determining factor in most of my life by what I've planted, by the actions, and I can change. I can change my life because God has given me a certain amount of control by what I plant. I can plant new stuff. I can plant truth. As I learn it, I can plant it. I can help others before they go astray. I can look and see I'm planting in my children certain things by my characteristics and my ways. Do I want my children to have the same life I have or better? If we begin to understand when you have the garment on, the garment will control how you live. Your garment is your authority. God gives us authority not to call those things that be not as though they are. That's God's job. Don't believe that mess. God called Abraham before he had children, the father of nations. God did that. He don't give us God-like powers like that. Everything we get is limited. It's limited. But it's real. It's real. And just like we are to enjoy the wife of our youth, not only to make children, but to enjoy her and to be ravished in her love, we're also supposed to enjoy her as we commingle together in the Spirit, figuring out what we're supposed to be doing to raise our children and to bring forth godliness and to enjoy what is going to be the type and the figure of us being with him forever. Each couple is supposed to be a world unto themselves. And then when we come together, we are a world together with God. Every family. If all families right now, if every man today decided, I'm going to walk in God's will and I'm going to walk in his glory. Do you realize we'll stop having children being born out of wedlock like that? Because nobody be out there planting seeds. And if all of us men would treat our wives, if they don't work with us to do God's will, according to God's will, God would deal with them. But I will guarantee you most women that are married to us if we would just lead like God said. We don't even know what it's like to walk home and somebody glad to see you. Mm-hmm. She make your chest swell up bigger than the Incredible Hulk. You know, by the chest of your mind. But when we don't walk like God say and we live like we want to, and the woman know that we're not fulfilling God's word and we lead by bullying or whatever, they look at us with disdain. They may not tell us. They're usually disappointed in us and they don't tell us. They look upon us as children, that we're taking care of you and we're doing, it's just like you're the little child and I'm supposed to respect you as my husband, as my leader. And it's hard. It's hard. You can't beat my tail enough to make my mind change that you are all of that, that you're not. I might not say anything. Like the slaves used to sing songs. They knew master was wrong. God has given us men, or we men, a blueprint. How to lead and how to rule. David said he to rule over men must be just. Ruling in the fear of God. Pray to God in it. I never try to rule over you without God's will and doing it out of love. I don't need you to fear me. I want her to honor you all. I like my wife to honor that. And every day I have to earn it. It's hard. But it's hard living with when you don't have it. I promise you, it's easier to maintain and do right every day than it is to make somebody honor you when they don't honor you. There was a man, and I don't even believe in the Nation of Islam, okay? There was a man that they used to call Honorable Elijah Muhammad. There's another man who they called Malcolm X. He found out that this man was laying up with little girls. And he could not see this man as honorable. He saw him as dishonorable. And he said something about it. I couldn't, although I don't believe in his religion, even he showed that to honor the dishonorable, I wouldn't even do that. How much more when a woman is learning God's word and she look at us and tell that we are dishonorable? How can she honor us? Oh, he was killed for speaking up. They shot him down like a dog in the Audubon. Sometimes women get killed in their influence and their spirit because they speak up. God's watching. And I deal with children like that, like God's watching. I deal with my wife like that. God's watching. Oh, and my wife will remind me. You think God wanted you to say that to me like that? Won't you do it? Oh, yeah. That's help for me. Because if I can't get it right at home, I need to shut my mouth when I come out here. Let's pray and have our discussion. Father, thank you for your blessed word. Please clothe us with the garment of righteousness. Form us back into your image. Let us be ready for the wedding. Help all of our families. Help we men. Help us, Lord, that we can model what's supposed to be modeled so that other men can see, so that our wives can look up to us, and that we can train our children to honor their mother and honor us from where they get their life and their sustenance from, so that we can train them to do the same thing for you. You're judging us on how we are as fathers, husbands, brothers, and even members of this class. Help us to do righteousness and judgment. I pray in the blessed name of your holy child, Jesus. Amen and amen.